according to the word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that there's clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion in this atmosphere. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion in this environment, in this atmosphere. We declare and decree that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. And at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Talk with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Are we there? If you are there, say hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 16 says, "All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now we see clearly in scriptures that Paul is telling his spiritual son Timothy that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now that would not mean when Timothy's mother gave birth to him. That would mean when Timothy began as a what? A saint, as a Christian. Yeah, he says, "Thou hast known the holy scriptures." The word there, holy, is the word herios, and it means set apart, sacred, designated, or distinct. So, "Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation." Now, scriptures in this, in 2 Timothy 3:15 would mean what? Genesis to Malachi. Are we here? So, Genesis to Malachi will be the scriptures that Paul is speaking about. So it means that in Genesis to Malachi, there is a wisdom of God well knitted around those books. It says they are to make thee wise. The word there, wise, means to be, you know, more like a wisdom, so to say, but to be skillful. So they are to make you skillful concerning the subject matter, salvation. So it means that a very good way, or a way to know that you've read scriptures very well, is when you read and see God's saving plan. Are we here? I'll say that again. A good way to know when that you've read Genesis to Malachi properly is to see God's salvation what? Plan. Say, God has had a plan of salvation from time. Hallelujah. So why are we doing a series like this? We are going back to Genesis to reinvestigate and to re-examine how the prophets and Moses wrote about God's saving plan. Look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 24. Luke's Gospel. Look at Luke's Gospel, 24. Right, verse 24. It says, "And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not." Are we together? Yes, "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet have spoken." Now, what did the prophet speak? Look at verse 26. Let's read that together. 1, 2, 3, go. Everybody together, verse 26. 1, 2, 3, go. Then what did Jesus do in verse 27? So, Jesus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So, it means that the scriptures have a general theme, and it's about the person of who? Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at verse 44. He says, "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written where? In the law of Moses." The law of Moses, would that be the Ten Commandments? The writings, right? So, we're written in the writings of Moses, right? And in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then what did he do in verse 45? He opened his their understanding that they might what? Understand scriptures. It means that he opened up for the very first time their mindset, that second word understanding, that they might what? Synchronize what? Scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the what? Third day. Verse 47 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now, what did he say should be preached? Repentance and remission of sin should be preached. So it means that the work of Jesus is regarding sins. Are we together? I'll say that again. The work of Jesus is regarding sins. You know, it's interesting to hear people say things like, Christ died for sins, for prosperity. And you hear people say things like, oh, when Adam sinned, yet he affected his prosperity. Let me ask you a very intelligent question. When Adam and Eve were on earth, it means that all cattle and all vegetables were at their disposal. Are we here? Are we here? I will ask that again. It means that everything around them, they were at their disposal. So it means that Adam had everything required to prosper. Are we here? So when you say Adam sinned and it brought him poverty, the question becomes, when did Adam stop eating the leaves he was eating before he sinned? Are we here? Was there any portion of scripture that told you that? So God now started putting his spirit inside all the leaves and said, when Adam is coming, be running. People say that Christ came to redeem from poverty. It is not true. Because you see clearly written in scriptures, if Christ, look at it, up until when Christ came, nobody could be called a born again. It is the work of Jesus that took care of sins. Are we together? So even if anyone was going to boast about the forgiveness of their sins, they will boast about it in the future. But when it came to prosperity, we had so many wealthy people. Are we together? If what Adam did caused poverty, nobody on earth should be rich until Jesus came. Are we here? So salvation is solely and strictly about sins. That which mankind could not have without Jesus. Or was Solomon after Jesus? The rich man in the Old Testament books, were they after Jesus? Are we together? So that's why it tells you in verse 47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached, not repentance, remission, and prosperity. Are we together? Have you gone home? We're here, right? So he says, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his what? Name. That means what is found in his name is that which took care of sins. So it means that once a man believes the gospel, what he receives is in reference to something taken care regarding sins, or something taken care of regarding what sins. Are we together? So when Jesus died, or when Adam, so we're trying to investigate the scripture to see what happened to Adam. Yeah, there was no point in scriptures that everything, there's nothing that shows you in scriptures that anything Adam could lay his hands on before he disobeyed. He stopped. He was not able to lay his hands on those things after he disobeyed. Not one scripture. You know, so, man sinned and he brought poverty. Yeah, and Christ has redeemed us. Yeah, you know, sometimes we even teach it as the blessing of Abraham. Yeah, because you are connected to Abraham. Right? You cannot suffer. Did Abraham's children suffer? Did Abraham's children labor? Those are their immediate children and their great-grandchild and Abraham's grandchild. You are not even up to the greatest grandchild. You are the greatest of the greatest grandchild. And you are connecting to, you. So you jump and pass. Hallelujah. Yeah, so in this series, we're going to examine what the blessing of Abraham is. It cannot be money. So what Jesus came to take care of is what? Sins. So God came in the flesh
gave himself sacrificially for the remission of sins. So what should be preached in his name is what? The remission of sins. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go to John quickly. Go to John chapter 5, verse 46. John chapter 5, verse 46. See what it says. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of who? Me. Let's read verse 47 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So, to believe the right... So, look at it carefully. Who said repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name? Jesus, right? So, what is Jesus saying? If you believe not Moses' writings, this thing I'm saying, you will not believe, or you should not believe. Did you get that? Look at it again, remember. So when it says, if you believe not my words, the words there will not just be the utterances of what he's saying, but it will be the message. He says, for had you believed Moses, you would not have believed me for a word of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? How shall you believe the logic of how I'm communicating, you know, the truth? So, when it says repentance and remission of sins should be preached, it means that he is preaching it from where? The writings of Moses. Are we together? Paul tells you, scriptures are to make you wise unto what? Salvation. So, it means that when you read the writings of the prophets and the writings of Moses, you will see that they've been writing about the plan of salvation. Glory to God. It means that when you go back to Noah's story, who wrote about Noah's story? Moses. The story of Noah was written in Genesis, and Moses wrote Genesis. So it means that if you go back to Noah's story, you should see God's saving plan. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Peter 3:15 quickly. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. See what Peter says. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Before you finish, continue. Go back to chapter 2 and read verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. 1, 2, 3, go. Right? So it means you must have read chapter 2, verse 5, before you get to chapter 3. Is that true? So go back to chapter 3 again, verse 15. 1, 2, 3, go. Chapter 3, verse 15. 1, 2, 3, go. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? So it means that no matter how long God suffers for, what you still see is what? Salvation. Why do you suppose Peter ends his epistle this way? Because in his previous chapter in 2 Peter, he had told you seemingly situations that looks like it was God. So he tells you, so that's why when you read scriptures, you read holistically. So if you stopped in verse 6, so imagine in chapter 2, verse 5, and it says, it destroyed the world. Or the God, it destroyed the world with flood. And you get to chapter 3 and it says the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. It means that if there was a time, right, that he destroyed the flood or the world with flood, it means that we cannot say his long suffering is salvation. We have to say his long suffering is destruction. The long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. Even as our beloved brother, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So it means that when you go back to Noah's story, you see, think about this. You say, God destroyed the world, right, with flood. So people teach this. They say God sent the flood to preserve the world. This is what I mean. So, you know, you hear people say things like, because, you know, angels were sleeping with ladies and they gave birth to giants. So God now saw that the gene of mankind had been tampered with. So he wanted to destroy everybody on earth and restart a new creation through Noah and his family. Yeah. So God sending the flood is preservation. not destruction. For God said when he sends the flood, he wants to start the world again. Let me ask you a question. You teach that God is he knows the end from the beginning. For what Noah and the generation to do to shock God, it means that God did not know that Noah and the generation would do that. It means that when Noah and the generation were acting the way they were acting, it shocked God. God will not say, oh no, I didn't see that coming. So you hear, he said, so if you read the book of Genesis 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, you will see the narrative of the sons of God were sleeping with the daughters of men. And you know, some say that the sons of God there will be angels. But think about it. For you to say angels were sleeping with women, it means that angels have reproductive organs. For you to say angels were sleeping with girls, it means they are. So it means that, so how did God now channel the reproductive organ in there? Is it for only sex or to urinate? So, and if it is they have reproductive organ, it will mean that one day, sooner or later, they will tell you that the angel that visited Mary slept with her, and you will believe. All together. Okay, angel visit, angel visited. What is visit? To visit, it means to lay in state. To lay in state means to lie in bed. To lie in bed means to produce. You will soon believe it. Because you believe from time that... So, look at it. Angels were sleeping with women and they were giving birth to giants. The question now becomes, was Goliath before Noah? The sons of Anak, were they before Noah? Abi, as Noah was just saying, lion, enter the ark, you know, Goliath and his team, they're just doing like this, they're watching his back. They just want to go and lie down beside sheep, you know, sheep are the ones that are peaceful. And lie down beside them. So when the flood now, they now came out. It's interesting. So what is Peter saying? The long suffering of our Lord is to see that people are saved. The question now becomes, do people get destroyed? Yes. What brings destruction? What brings destruction is the rejection of the offering to save. I'll say that again. Do people get destroyed? Yes. What brings destruction is the rejection of the offering to save, which is what you call the judgment of God. I'll say that again. What brings destruction is the rejection of the offering to save. So, if Peter tells you the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, it means we need to critically go back and look at Noah's story. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we need to go back and critically look at Noah's story. How is God's saving plan well knitted around Noah's story? We'll look at that in days to come. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, never forget, look at John chapter 1, verse 45. John chapter 1, verse 45. Are we together? Next few days, you know, next few weeks, we'll look at Noah's story critically. And I want us to dwell there a little. Yeah? So, if we say that there were giants on earth looking like humans, right? And it was because angels were sleeping with daughters of men. Yeah, it would mean that in the flood that God sent to destroy, he didn't do a good job. Because we have the sons of Anak, the Anakims. Yeah, we have the Goliaths. Was Goliath not recorded as someone that was mighty? Who do you suppose gave birth to Goliath? You think spirits? Have you not asked yourself a question? Have you not seen men who are very huge? Who gave birth to them? Just thank God that women don't give birth to men as they will look forever. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Imagine if these are they gave birth to me. And the way I'll just be going on, going in is in wisdom. Right? There is something called gene in a man. That is why when you see a man looking at his 15-year-old son and he's tall and the son is short, when you see him saying, I want to go for DNA, don't fight him. God has put a system on earth that you are huge. Why should you produce someone that is short at 22? Are we together? Yeah? Mother, father, huge. Child, small. You have every right to question. Because that's a miracle. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it means that we need to go back. So if we have people like Goliath afterwards, if we have giants, I don't know men who will stand beside you today and you'll be scared. If that still exists, it's either of two things. God didn't do a good job by sending the flood, because it would mean that he just sent the flood to the region where people are. You know, but we'll look at what is the flood about. Now look at how Peter teaches about the flood. Should I give you a tip? Should I give you a tip? Let me give you a tip quickly. Go to 2 Peter, or 1 Peter, so to say. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This is just a tip, right? Okay, so look at 1 Peter 3:18. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Beautiful. Verse 19. Verse 20. Saved by what? Souls were saved by what? By what? Souls were saved by what? It's not your Bible. So look at verse 19. By which also he went and preached. Who do you think the he that went and preached unto the spirits in prison will be? Look at it again. Look at verse 19. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. Who preached? Look at it. Which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. So who preached to the spirits in prison? Hold on. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Let's read together. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Sorry. 2 Peter 2, 5, 1, 2, 3, go. So who was the preacher here? Is it Christ? Noah, right? So go back to chapter 1, 1 Peter 1. Yeah, so verse 19, 1 Peter 3, verse 19. By which also he went and preached. Who is the he that went and preached? It's Noah. What did 2 Peter tell you? He's a preacher of righteousness. Right? So, by which also Noah went and preached to the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient. But see what he says. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in days of Noah, while the ark was what? Preparing. Wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Please, let's read verse 21 together. 1, 2, 3, go. So Peter uses the water in Noah's time to teach about the baptism of the saints now. Did you see that? He says, the like figure. Are we here? The like figure, whereunto if... So we're going to deal with this properly. You know, I just wanted to give you a clue. Right? Doth also now saves us, look at that in bracket, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards what? God, by the resurrection of Jesus. So it means that in Noah's story, we see God's saving plan. Here? Are we here? Are we here? We'll look at that in days to come. Let's go back to what we have been dealing with in a few weeks' time now, right? So go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Now, let's read verse 8 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 9. Verse 10. Together, everybody.
Jump to verse 15. You know, verse, next few verses speaks about the splitting of the heads, the four regions. Verse 15. 1, 2, 3, go.
So what was the profession or what was the assignment that God gave to the man in the Garden of Eden? To dress and keep it. Now we'll look at the use of the words dress and keep by Moses and the prophets. Now, let's take a throwback. The Garden of Eden, the word there garden is what? Gan. It speaks about an enclosed region. The word there Eden speaks about what? Luxury, delight, or pleasure. So what is Garden of Eden? An enclosed, secured region of pleasure or delight. Now, we've established in this series that Moses used that to teach that God gave Adam a special place. Is that true? Is that true? God gave Adam a special place. In that special place, he now teaches that there are two trees in the garden. Tree of what? Life. And tree of what? Knowledge of good and evil. Then what Jesus said, Jesus now said that, are you without sense? Don't you know that what a man eats doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach? That's Mark 7. Are we here? So, we've established that what? Adam did not eat a literal food that caused what? The damnation. Or thou shalt surely die. You know, a lot of people still believe that what Adam ate is what? Apple. Yeah? So, what made Adam to fulfill thou shalt surely die was not the eating of a physical fruit. Are we together? Jesus tells you, when you eat food from any tree, yeah, it doesn't go into your heart. So, what you see Moses says, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil, they are figurative expressions speaking about what? Knowledge. Yeah, we've done justice to that in time past, right? Now, see what God now did to Adam. He says, God put him into the garden to keep and to dress it. Look at verse 16. Quickly. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou may freely eat. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eat thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die. Beautiful. So, surely die is what it says in verse 17. Now look at verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. Yeah, what is being alone? Being without the helpmeet. Yeah, we've talked about the helpmeet, right? We saw that last week. Yeah, it says, I will make him an helpmeet. Now, remember in verse 17, what will happen when you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Surely die. Go to chapter 3, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one to know good and evil, and now, lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. So when you eat of the tree of life, what will happen to you? You will live forever. Beautiful. And we've established the tree of life, right? Right? The tree of life is a life whose fruit is life. Yes? And we did a teaching about how the tree of life has a fruit called the bread of life. And the bread of life is a person. So we have eaten the person. Right? John 2:6. Now look at verse 23 together. 1, 2, 3. Verse 23, quickly. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Verse 24. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, what did he say when you eat of the fruit? Surely die. Can you see that surely die is equal to you drove them out? Are we here? He surely die, he drove them out. Right? So, surely die, he speaks about a separation. Please follow. Right? So, he tells you in Genesis 3, he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword which stood every way to keep the way of the tree of life. This is Moses' communication technique. Now, let's look at the direct offspring of Adam and Eve. Who are those? Cain and Abel, right? Look at how Moses speaks about them in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1.
Look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife. Right? What's the name of his wife here? Eve. Right? And she what? So it means that that knowing is not normal friendship. All together? Yeah? Because normal friendship, you don't just... Imagine that's how life was. Can I know? Imagine you just know somebody and person just conceives. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore a child. What's the name of the child? Cain. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Look at verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. It's not the next day. Oh. Are we together? Eh? You see, the Bible wasn't written in a day-to-day. The Bible is not a diary showing the day-to-day activities of man. Right? Moses was born where? In Exodus. So, Moses now writes the birth of Cain and the birth of Abel in two verses. Don't think it's the next day. Oh. Verse 1 and verse 2 did not happen overnight. Oh. You know, some things we just have to say it. Verse 3. And the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. Look at verse 4. And Abel, he also brought all the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You know what Moses is just teaching about? He's teaching about the slants of their heart. Moses is not teaching that God accepts animal more than fruit. Are we together? Yeah? See, if God requires blood or accepts blood or accepts animals to forgive, there's no difference between God and the herbalist. Are we together? So, Moses is communicating what the slant of the heart of Abel was and Cain. So, he's not saying when you want to bring offering to the Lord, don't bring fruit, oh. Bring animal. Blood. I want to see the blood. No, that is Moses communicating the exist or the eternal or the eventual need of blood or for blood. Please follow. Look at verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. Why? Because he brought fruit. No. Look at it again. Look at it again. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance what? Fell. Look at verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Verse 7. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and what? Slew him. Moses is talking about something. Yeah? He's talking about something. Look at verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? Please follow attentively. When God asked Adam, where are you? Was it because he didn't know? Let me ask again. When God asked Adam, where art thou? Was it because he didn't know where Adam was? Let me ask you a question. When God is asking Cain, where is Abel your brother? Is it because he doesn't know? He knows. Look at it again. And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Right? Look at verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. Next verse. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood. Is this literal or figurative? Figuratively literal. The ground has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from the hand. Did the ground split up and blood was pouring inside? Look at verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Verse 13. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Look at next verse. Behold,
thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Does driven out from the face of the earth sound familiar in Adam and Eve's story? So it means that God drove them out of the garden is equal to drove them out of the face of the earth. So Moses used in Adam's story to teach about the face of the earth as the Garden of Eden. Are we here? And in Cain's story, used the face of the earth to teach about what? The Garden of Eden. Look at it again. So thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. Let me ask you a question. Did Cain become extinct? You know what it means to be extinct? To be extinct just means you know, like I said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, dinosaurs were existing and they went extinct. Yeah, so it means that nowhere to be found. So when Moses says, out this day from the face of the earth, does it mean that Cain just disappeared from the universe? So this is Moses' way of teaching about something again. Hallelujah. So, and from thy face shall I be hid. Did Adam hide from God's face? Okay, what did Genesis 3 call it? God's voice. Right? So, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Now look at verse 15. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Who is talking here? Moses. Now, Adam and Eve. Adam knew his wife, right? Right? And Adam and Eve gave birth to Cain and Abel. And Cain killed Abel. So Abel was dead. Are we here? So who were the people that were to look at Cain and not kill him?
Wow. Wow.
Look at it now. He says, and the Lord set a mark that any finding him should not kill him. Look at verse 16. And Cain went out from... What is went out of the presence of the Lord? Drove him out. So God drove Cain out of the face of the earth. Is that what? Cain, did I say that right? Let me say it again. God driving out Cain from the face of the earth. Is that what? Cain went out from the presence of the Lord.
Are we together? So what is Moses saying? Moses is writing or showing in his writings that Cain wasn't accepted. Right? So, we must take cue from what the parents must have done. Because Moses is writing about who? The offering of salvation and the person of who? Jesus. So, their parents did what? They did not associate themselves with God's voice. They heard God's voice and what? Hid. Right? So, it means that what did Cain not do also? It means that what Cain did not do also was to obey a voice.
Are we here? What did Adam do? Adam did not obey or associate himself with God's voice. What did he do? He hid. The same thing Cain did. What did he do? He hid himself. Please follow. Right? So, it is in the narrative of Cain and Abel that you see the first mention of sin and wrath.
Glory to God. Look at verse 10. Go back to verse 10. Quickly, verse 10.
And he said, what hast thou done? Who is talking here?
God, right?
The voice of thy brother cried unto me from the ground. Now, the question now becomes, what Cain did to Abel, was that evil? Was that evil? Was that wicked? Where is wickedness found? Heart of a man. Are we together? Where is wrath? Where does wrath emanate from? It's from the heart of men. Evil. You know, that's what Jesus now teaches in Mark 7, verse 20 to 21.
Glory to God. So, evil things, wickedness, emanate from the hearts of men and are found within human interaction.
Let me ask you a question. Please listen to this very, 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 very importantly. If Cain did not have an Abel, there's nobody that he would have wanted to kill.
Are we here? Let me say it again. If Cain did not have an Abel, if Cain was the only person on earth, death would not have been an option. Who will he want to kill?
So you see where sin is found? Are we together? Are we together?
Yes.
In human interactions. Glory to God. See verse 11. And now art thou cursed. Let's do a little exegesis on this. The word there cursed is the Hebrew word arar. A-R-A-R. The word there cursed is the Hebrew word arar. A-R-A-R. And it means to be away from or not to be found in. To be away from or not to be found in. That's what arar. So, and now art thou cursed from the earth. The word there cursed means to be away from or not to be found in. Now, look at the word fugitive in verse 12. Look at verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Now, the word a fugitive is the Hebrew word N-U-A. And the word vagabond is N-U-D. Yeah. So, if you go back to verse 11, right? It says, and now art thou cursed from the earth. What will be cursed from the earth? Driven out, right? So, what verse speaks about driven out there? Go back to verse... beautiful. So, go back to verse 11. Thou, and now art thou cursed. What is the meaning of cursed? What? Let me ask again. What's the meaning of cursed there? Arar? It means what? To be away from. Or not to be found in. So, not to be found in. Is that this? Now, can we say that the same thing that happened to Adam and Eve was that they were cursed? What does it mean to be cursed? Not to be found in. Right? Not or to be away from. So, God drove Adam and Eve means that they were cursed. That is, they were not found in. Or they were away from. So, for Cain, what happens to him? You have been cursed from the earth. What does it mean in verse 14? And Cain said unto, now, behold, thou hast driven me out. Is that the word cursed? Is that the word cursed? Yeah. Thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. What happened to Adam? Thou hast been driven out from the garden of Eden. Are we together? And from thy face shall I be hid. So, we can deduce this. So, it means that there's a similarity between Cain. Let me start again. It means there's a similarity between Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Are we together? Are we together? They did something and there was a driving out. Glory to God. So, what Moses taught in chapter 2 as the Garden of Eden is what he taught in chapter 4 as what? The face of the earth. Or what again? From thy face. All together, I'll say that again. What Moses taught as the Garden of Eden in chapter 2 is the same truth he taught in chapter 4 as the face of the earth. Or thy face. So, can thy face there? Hello? Hello, everyone? Hello, everyone? Thy face there, can it be the presence of God? Can it be the presence of God? Are we together? Remember, what was Garden of Eden used to teach? To speak about a special place Adam or mankind was given to dress and to keep. What was found in the Garden of Eden? The tree of life. Right? Is that tree of life about the Spirit of God? Are we here? Is that tree of life about the Spirit of God? Is that about the presence of God? Glory to God. So, Adam being driven out of the garden of God is what? What Cain? What Moses says that Cain was driven out from the face of the earth. So, what does that really mean? Cain went away from the presence of the Lord. Are we together? So, Cain's going away from the presence of the Lord Is this something God did or a repercussion of what Cain did?
Remember, for it, so look at this again. Please let me, please listen to this carefully. If thou had driven me out of the face of the earth is equal to what driven out of the garden, can we say that means that this means you shall surely die? So being driven out of from the face of the earth, is that thou shalt surely die? Are we together? So driven out of the garden is equal to thou shalt surely die. Driven out of the face of the earth is equal to thou shalt surely die, which is what? Thou shalt be away from the presence of God. Are we here? Beautiful. So it means that we need to pay attention carefully to how Moses wrote. So Cain, by implication, by what he did, right, he separated himself. So it means that there was a separation. Now, since we've already accepted that this driven out of the face of the earth doesn't mean leaving the earth as a planet, it means it's the figurative expression. Are we together? Yeah? The same figurative expression for Garden of Eden. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, Garden, or what you call Eden, or Garden of Eden, was a place to explain the presence of God by who? Moses. Yeah, the garden or the Eden or the garden. Let's see. Hold on, saints. Students, see. What did he now explain or used to explain the presence of God in Cain and Abel's time? The face of the earth. Hallelujah. So, what has Moses been doing from Genesis chapter 1? We'll look at heaven and earth in our subsequent meetings. Right? Look at Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Right? Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. That is, without form and void is tohu buhu. I'm going to teach that subsequently. But it simply means nothing. And darkness, so without form and void means nothing. So, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Hold on. When you say the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, we need to look at what Moses used waters to teach. Yeah? So Moses says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Now, Moses in the next chapter speaks about a tree of life found in the garden of where? Eden. Now, listen to this carefully. Moses used imagery of the tree of life in the garden to explain the Spirit of God. I'll say that again. The tree of life is about the Spirit of God. Okay, let me allow you right. I'll say that again. Moses used imagery of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden to explain the Spirit of God in the heart of men. Say it again. Moses used imagery of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden to explain the Spirit of God in the heart of men. Which is what, in the real sense, he has been explaining it as heaven and earth. Moses used the imagery of the tree of life to teach about what? The Spirit of God in the hearts of men. So when you see the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, see what happens in verse 3. And God said, let there be light. Let me ask you a question, right? When we go to Genesis chapter 3, where the Bible says that he that eateth or the tree of life, you shall live forever. Right? Eating the tree of life means you will live forever. Right? So how many of you are going to live forever here? Beautiful, right? Why? How do you know you're going to live forever? Because you have the Spirit of God in you. So it means that the Spirit of God in you is what Moses taught as the tree of life. Do you get that? Yeah? So the tree of life in the garden is to speak about the Spirit of God. Now, remember in Genesis chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2.
verse 8.
And the Lord God planted, or look at verse 7.
Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8.
And the Lord God planted a garden eastwards in Eden, and there he put a man whom he had formed.
Please look at the next verse carefully, verse 9.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now look at verse 10. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go.
Let me explain something to you right now. If you've been sleeping, wake up.
The Garden of Eden in Adam's time is tantamount to the face of the earth in Cain and Abel's time. Bible tells you that a river went out of Eden to water the garden. It says, and the river went out of Eden to water the garden. Right? So it means that water was to flow out of Eden. Moses uses water to explain the nations of the earth, also to say the whole of humanity. So God's plan is for his spirit to dwell in all of humanity. I'll say that again. Yeah? God's plan was for his spirit to dwell in all of, so the river went out of Eden to water the garden. Yeah, will be Moses' way of speaking about how his spirit was to dwell in the entirety of humanity. We'll look at that on Wednesday more. So it means that God had a plan, right? In that plan, his plan was salvation, to offer salvation to mankind. Despite his plan, or his plan was something that was to profess solution to the problem of Adam. Right? Which Cain walked in. So, what did Adam, Cain, Eve? Hold on. When you read the book of Hebrews, look at Hebrews 11, verse 2. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Somebody say, faith is now.
Say now.
Now. Yeah, faith is what you have now. The Bible says now. The word there now speaks about the now, which is present continuous now.
Olga, madam, this faith here is not talking about now.
You know, faith is the currency you have. Yeah, the currency of the kingdom is faith. The same way you use money to exchange to buy a car. The same way you use your faith to exchange what you need. I shall be prosperous. The word there now in the Hebrew manuscript has nothing to do with now. It's the word that means moreover or therefore. Are we here? That word there now, D-E, is a word that speaks about moreover or therefore. And if you use the word therefore, it means you need to see what it is there for. I'll say it again. The word there now is the word therefore or moreover. So it means that you can't start a sentence with moreover.
Brasa, moreover, I'll be coming to your place tomorrow.
Who says that? Yeah, so moreover, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You must have read chapter 10 into chapter 11. Go back to 3 verses before chapter 11.
Chapter 10, verse 26, 27? 37, right?
For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Who is it? Where is it coming from? Habakkuk 2. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it may tarry, wait for it. Write it upon the plains. So he that read my road. He's not saying if you have vision to build estate, go and write on the wall of your house. We're just designing your house. Yeah, the vision is yet for an appointed time. Speaks about the pressing. Look at what it says. For yet a little while, right? And he, that shall come. So when Habakkuk wrote about the vision that needs to be written plain, was Habakkuk's utterance and message to his generation. Not today. Make that your favorite verse. Oh, I have a vision. My vision is to be cooking rice mixed with jollof rice. I'll call it jollof fried rice. Yeah? And everywhere in my house, once you enter your house, you start to say, jollof fried rice. You enter the bedroom, jollof fried rice. You're brushing your teeth, jollof fried rice. Because the Bible says, write it and make it plain. So anybody that sees it will be running. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He now tells you from the same Habakkuk 2, look at verse 38. He says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Next verse. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Who are those? Those that draw back unto perdition is not saying believers that believe and are now drawing back. No. He's speaking about a message offered to man and man rejects. We'll look at that in days to come. Yeah, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, faith. So, what is the word there now? Therefore. So, go back to verse 39. Let's read it again. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Moreover, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He now tells you in verse 2, for by it, are we together? For by it the elders obtained a good report. So he's been teaching about the faith of the elders. Are we together? Obtaining a report. He's not saying if you have faith to buy a car, just believe it. The first thing to do about having a car is to believe. Say, believe it. Say, I have it. Say, I have it. For it by the elders obtained a good result. He now starts giving you examples of these elders that obtained a good result. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. For your faith to be considered as more excellent than Cain, it means that the faith you have was in the faithfulness of God. The blood being shed is a type and shadow to the blood of God's lamb that will be shed. So it says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was what? He was righteous. God testifying of his gift, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated. Let me explain this verse once and for all. You know, people say that Enoch did not die. You know, it's same way you hear people say things like, Christ redeemed us as well. So, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Eh? That means Enoch had eternal life before Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? So, when he says, Enoch was translated, who was the other man again that did not see death? Elijah. They say Elijah did not die. Okay. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was found and was not found. The real sense of he did not see death is he was not found, though. You are seeing it, right? Eh? Stay there, oh. Stay there, oh. Eh? Okay, oh. He was not what? He was not what? Is that in the Bible? Let me show you something. Let me show you why it is not true that he is still alive. Because God had translated him. Don't be confused. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Don't be confused. So why do you suppose Enoch's story was written? Enoch's story was written to show that when a man pleases God, he will live forever. Are we here? Look at verse 5, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek him. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah being what? Warned of God of things not seen as yet. So when Noah was warning them about the flood, yeah, it didn't look like rain was going to fall. Right? He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Look at verse 8. By faith, who again? Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Look at verse 9. By faith, who is that? Abraham sojourned in the land of what? Promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Don't lose track. Look at verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is what? God. So it means that the promised land that Moses taught with is not the land that was. So you know, the Israelites just look at that land that was filled with milk and honey. In the real sense, it's a city which Abraham looked forward to. Right? Who are those cities now? We are the city. Hold on, we're in verse 10. Go to chapter 11, verse 12, chapter 12. Chapter 12. Are we here? Are we going to? Beautiful. Yeah, I'll get that quickly now. Look at chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto what? Mount Zion, and unto the what? City of the living God. Right? The heavenly Jerusalem, and the innumerable company of who? Angels. So innumerable company of angels, would that be angels of terrestrial atmosphere or angels which are messengers? Messengers, right? So people that indwell the heavenly Jerusalem are messengers like, or messengers that are we, are you, me and you. Right? So we are come unto where? The city. Is it that we will come? Is it we will come? No. We are come unto Mount Zion. I mean the city of the living God. So we are now that city that Abraham looked forward to. Are we here? I'll say that again. We are that city that Abraham looked forward to. Look at what you now tell. In case you don't know, look at verse 23. The general what? And what? So the general assembly that is the called out of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. So now we are now that city Abraham looked forward to. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Remember, I want to show Enoch. Is it verse 6 or 7? 10? For Enoch? Yeah, verse 5, sorry. By faith, Enoch was translated, and he should not see death, and was not found. Right? So people believe that Enoch is still alive. He started living eternal life before Jesus came. Look at verse 11. Verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. A city that God builds and makes. Who is the owner of the city? God now. So when you see Hebrews 12 verse 23, the city of the living God, is that what Abraham looked forward to? Please, don't lose track. Look at the next verse, please. Through faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him of as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sands which is by the seashore innumerable. Look at verse 13. This all, Enoch. If you want to stay there, that's fine. Did he say this all died in faith, excluding Enoch? Just did we go to another chapter? Wait, who wrote verse 13? The writer of Hebrew. Who wrote verse 5? Hey, it's not a different person. The writer of Hebrew, right? That's fine. There's been a serious argument about the writer of Hebrew. Let's just stay with the writer of Hebrews. Yeah? So, the writer of Hebrews now tells you, these all, who are these all? The names he has been calling. Abraham, Noah, including Enoch. So, it means that either this is wrong or verse 5 is wrong. Are we together? So, they all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Dear saints, as believers, we are pilgrims on earth. Our real location is heaven. Are we together? So when you see Abraham sojourned, it's to show an example of how man is sojourning on earth. But there's a real promised land.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So what did Adam do around up here? Yeah, Adam was disobedient, and by extension, that caused a separation between himself, right, and the presence of God.
Are we together? So are we seeing that salvation has been God's plan from time? Is it getting clearer?
Yeah, so salvation is not something God just woke up and changed his mind. No, it's been God's plan from time. We are forever secured. Why? Because we have received. Look at John 10 verse 28 quickly.
John 10, 28. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall what? They shall never what? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hands. Why do you suppose none can pluck us out of his hands? Because it is the man that cleaves to his wife. Oh, you didn't see I was coming from last week's teaching. You didn't see that? Yeah? Adam was to cleave to his wife and they become one flesh. Why do you suppose they can never perish? Neither shall any pluck them out of my hands. It is because God, who is eternal, is having an eternal bond with you. You know, in chemistry, we have what you call covalent bond. We have, what other bond again do we have? Electrovalent bond, the people that went to school. We have those kind of bonds. But there's a bond that is called godvalent. If you enter, you cannot come out. Look at what it says. It says, neither shall any pluck them out of my hands. Why? See, it is not you holding on to God. It is God in his work, by his work, holding on to you. If great Kali holds you, my bro, you cannot move. Talk more when God. So God is the Adam that cleaves to his wife. Who is his wife? The church. Are we together? And he says, none shall pluck them out of my hands. So eternal salvation is not something that started last week. Yeah, what we are teaching, see, there is nothing I'm teaching that I'm the first to teach. Are we here? Nothing. There is no personal revelation God gave me. Are we together? It has been the same message from the times of Moses. Hallelujah. See what it says in verse 29. Quickly, it says what? My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to uncleave the woman from Adam. How together? That is why when disciples in Matthew 19, will continue from here on Wednesday. In Matthew 19, they came and met Jesus. But Moses said that we can put a letter of divorce. Remember that? He said, Moses said, we can write letter of divorce and divorce our wives. What did Jesus say? He laughed at them. He said from the beginning, it wasn't so. Why? Because God never had a plan of divorce. It is once a man lives and cleaves, it's forever. So that is the example we follow as husbands and wives. Are we together? Jesus said unto them, he said it wasn't so from the beginning. But because of the hardness of your heart, Moses had decided to say, okay, we have been divorcing yourselves. Why? They strayed or they went away from God's original plan. Divorce is never God's plan. Are we together? Are we together? Divorce is never God's plan. Because we see an example between Christ and the church. No matter how terrible the church does, God is still cleaving. He's forever there. He says, he is greater than all. When 6 billion of us right now that are alive and 6 billion people who have died come together and put our power together, it's not up to God's power. So when it comes to salvation, you cannot not believe it's eternal. Think about it. Imagine my wife does something terrible to me. Next thing I'm doing is to write the divorce letter. Man can do it, but God will not do it. Because God will keep. He will keep his promise. We have a God who never fails. He has promised he will never fail. That's why are we following? Eh? He's a God that promised. He promises. So when you say he is a promise keeper, he keeps to his promise. Once he says it, that's why he says the promises of God are in Christ. Yes, and amen. It means fulfilled, done. He has cleaved unto his church. There is no divorce. There is no separation. We are forever there. There is never a time on earth that the believer will lack forgiveness of sins. Because we have received his life. His life is a proof that we have forgiveness of sins. Yeah, see, we might not look like it. We might not act like it. But dear saints, if you pay more attention to God's word, you will see your life transform. Together. That's why we don't need to tell you what you are doing that is wrong. We need to tell you what God has done that is right. In doing that, you will see. That's why when you pay attention to God's word, it translates in your actions. It translates in your conduct. It translates in your approach to life. Are we here? So, eternal salvation has been God's plan from Genesis chapter 1. Bible says, God said, let there be light. Paul teaches that the light of the glorious gospel. Say, the light of God has shone in my heart. I have his life. I have eaten from the tree of life. I am in the Garden of Eden. Say it again. I am in the Garden of Eden. I am in the Garden of Eden. I am in the Garden of Eden. And I am on the face of the earth. Did you get that? Did you get that? We are in the Garden of Eden. That is God's heavenly Jerusalem, and we're in the face of the earth. Yeah? So Christ, by his resurrection, has granted us forgiveness of sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah? What does it mean that he gave? It's not that when Jesus was born, the giving is upon the resurrection. That's why it says he gave his first begotten, the only begotten. Are we together? Are we together? That whosoever believes. So, see, the message of the gospel is like God doing his hand like this. Once you believe, oh, you are trapped. You are in God's prison for life. Yeah? So, once that one is trapped, you just say, that one still be shouting, I'm an atheist. I don't believe there is God because they sack you. He's not looking at you, he's looking at you. See, on what you call the last day, a lot of believers will be shocked. We have believers who are in the mosque today. They have the mark, but they also have the mark. They have the mark of the spirit. They have the mark forever. You cannot separate yourself. You are too small. Who are you? Who born you? Just one woman. One woman gave birth to you. I think you are strong. Your mommy. Your mommy gave birth to you. My mommy gave birth to me, and I think I'm stronger than God. No. That's why you say God is love. So his hand goes again. So how does God's hand go like this when you and I go to the streets and preach? So, when we are going to the streets to preach for evangelism, this is what God is doing. Anywhere you want to go, either by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, once you catch the attention and you share the gospel and they believe, back, throw. Next person. That is how God will get the whole of the earth. Why? Because it is his plan for his knowledge to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It is his plan. Hallelujah. So when you say all over the world the spirit is moving, how is the spirit moving when you go? All over the world, as the prophet said it will be, where you go. You cannot sing here and go back to your house and say the spirit is moving. The spirit should not move if believer doesn't move. So as you move, he goes again. Looking for, oh gracious Father, God is looking for the slightest opportunity to get a man saved. Did you hear that? God is looking for the slightest opportunity to get a man saved. Peter tells you, the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. So, no matter how much you push God, what you still see is a saving power. What you still see is a saving ability. What you see is God waiting to save. Looking for, God will take half a chance to get a man saved. Ah, that is why it is once you believe, that's the end. Once you believe, you've left. You've teleported. Is a God that changed not. Yeah, God was not angry and now he's providing salvation. No. If it is that he provides salvation now and wasn't before, it means that he's a God that has changed. Are we together? That's why Matthew now tells you, be perfect as your heavenly Father is. Are we together? God's saving plan has been his plan from time. God's message is to get the world saved. God's voice carries his message of what? Salvation. And once you are saved, you are insecure. Are we together?
Once you are in Christ, you cannot come out. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. He says, all things are of God who has reconciled us back to himself. He had now, now behold, all things are new. And now he has given us to us a ministry of reconciliation. That ministry of reconciliation is his catch. Are we together? That's why you cannot hear God's word and not go to the streets to preach to people. Are we together? God respects man's will. That's why he will not wake up one day and say everybody on earth just become Christians. It is your choice. It is your choice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you see that song? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning. You know that's what they sing for newcomers. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Bros, if you get to the door and turn back, you are there. Eh? When you finish singing it, go to the door. Say, I don't do again. I'm not doing again. See, I'm not doing again. You are still there. You see, that's why we say things like this. Even those who teach that salvation is not eternal are saved forever. Are we here? Don't mind those ostrich people. How can you say God in his infinite mercy? We see Christians misbehaving. And I say, even there as they are talking, they are forever secured. I know to shock you. A lot of people who lack conduct, but their sins are not visible, condemn people whose sins are visible. So we find people, or we see sinning sinners, judging other sinners for sinning differently. Okay, let me say, we see believers who fall short one way or the other, judging others for falling short because their others are sinning different from their sin. So the sin they are battling with is inside the room. But when you see a man go towards a woman, so for he has come to carry. Once I just start and the Spirit of God remind me, so I pack my load. I've met people in this life, bro. Yeah? So I pack my load and I just leave. Yeah? What do? I just go and ask God for mercy. I just go behind the curtain and I just confess. You know, I just confess and I don't say more than that, though. Are we together? So, what is the solution to sin problem? The message of God taking care of sin on the cross by his resurrection. So by that, I'm forever saved. Say, I'm forever saved. I'm forever secured. I'm forever secured. I'm forever saved. I'm eternally saved. God lives in me forever. He cleaves unto me. I trust his power. I trust his ability. He can never fail. He has said it. He will do it. But he says, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. Glory to God. Jude 24. Saves us to the uttermost. Oh, glory to God. You are forever saved. Forever in his hand. Forever secured. I'm forever in you, Jesus. Forever in you, Jesus. Nothing can pluck me from your hand.